hockey. Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome in to the latest edition of Judd's Hockey Show. We record day. We record night. We record whenever we possibly can. It's Judd and Declan Goff. And we were both at the Wild Vegas Golden Knights game tonight and felt compelled to record as quickly as possible. A 6-5 Wild win, both figuratively and literally, because it was crazy. Third consecutive game, Declan Goff, the Minnesota Wild at home has gone in the third period down by 2 goals. They lost in overtime last Thursday to the Blues, being down by 2, came back and tied it with the goaltender pulled. Saturday night, same thing, score a couple of late goals, including Brodin, I believe, ties it on Saturday. Fiala in overtime wins it. This time the Wild down by 2. Fiala pulls them about halfway through the third period, pulls them within 1, and then the Wild lifts Talbot, puts him back in, and gets a Kaprizov goal to tie it. And so you think, okay, overtime again. Congratulations. That's a nice job. And I believe 26 seconds after Kaprizov got the game-tying goal, Jonas Brodin, again with his 9th of the season, scores at 18:54, and the Wild wins 6-5. Where do you want to start with a win that I consider, by the way, just to be clear, Saturday night, I thought the Wild didn't play well, became the furious rallies late in that game, and I criticized them because that's not the way that you're going to win a playoff game or series. Tonight, I'd like to be very clear. Don't know what you thought. I was impressed. I thought they played a good game. It might not have been a great game, but they played a good game. They played the Golden Knights incredibly tough, and that comeback to me tonight was a culmination of a game in which they did work hard, and this, to me, is what the new Wild is. Harder workers, better leaders on the ice. Just overall, tonight's win did not feel like the old-school Wild at all to me.
It wasn't the prettiest of wins, right? Like, it wasn't, like, the most purest of all wins. At the same time, I thought it was, an entertaining game. I never really felt like the Wild necessarily were lazy in this game. Cam Talbot didn't have his A game tonight. I think that was pretty clear. Then again, though, Robin Leonard wasn't also phenomenal either. He was a bit of a head case. For God's sakes, he lost his stick. At that point, Rob, if you lost your stick and the puck isn't all the way down the other end, like, don't try to get it back. You had it backwards. You looked like a fool. Like, Joel Eriksson-Ek made you look like a fool. And not to say that Joel Eriksson-Ek is not a good player, because I want to get into that him in just a little bit, but he exposed you. Like, he's like, oh, the guy's stick, it's backwards. His teammate tried to get it to him,
and then he fumbled it. But what I don't get is the Golden Knights had every chance to ice that puck and, like, stop play so that the goaltender could go skate and pick up a stick. And they tried to chip it out. Like, what are you doing? Don't try and make an offensive play there. Just ice the puck, get the whistle. The stick, Dex, was in the circle to the left of the goaltender, well away. Like, that was a problem. Just ice the puck. We can definitely talk about this. The Golden Knights, I don't care who they play, are susceptible.
Yep.
Like, they are defensively, they have shortcomings. They're an impressive offensive group, but they are the exact type of team that gets bounced from the playoffs. They are the poster child for being bounced from the playoffs. Their defensive irresponsibility is going to bite them in the ass.
Three players stood out to me tonight from what I saw. Obviously, Kirill Kaprizov. Again, just the heroics tying the game up. Phenomenal play. I thought Joel Eriksson-Ek also had another very quietly strong game. Now up to, I believe, 18 goals on the season. That's one more than Brock Besser. For all this talk about Joel Eriksson-Ek being compared to Brock Besser, right now he has more goals. It's by one. And you could probably make a case that, look, Brock Besser's maybe a more offensively gifted player, but I can tell you right now, Brock Besser isn't the defensive player that Joel Eriksson-Ek is, and I know they play extremely different positions, so that can skew the perception. At the same time, Joel Eriksson-Ek is having a phenomenal year. And then third is Kevin Fiala. And Fiala scoring the goal that made it a one-goal game, almost didn't clean up his own rebound, but then was able to find the back of the net, and he was playing with two players who he has no business playing with, in my opinion, in Ryan Hartman and Victor Rask. And you know what? I'll give Victor Rask credit tonight. Mm-hmm. Victor Rask was not a complete disaster, like we've always been saying for the last few weeks. Victor Rask was all right. I'm not going to say he had a strong game, But if he isn't having a noticeably bad game, which is who Victor Rask is, I can say, all right, Victor Rask, you pulled it off. You did a pretty damn good job tonight. But grouping Kaprizov, Fiala, and Ekin together, Judd, three guys who are 25 years old, under the age of 25 years old, three guys who are basically right now your pillars of what you're building here in Minnesota. You know, like, we know Kaprizov is a special player. Kevin Fiala is dynamic, but he's definitely still a flawed player, even as much as I like him a lot. And you have Joel Eriksson Ek, who has now blossomed and stepped up from not just a nice defensive forward who can play the penalty kill, to a guy who is now knocking on the door of 20 goals in a shortened, truncated season.
Mm-hmm.
These three players are your now core offensive players. You know, and I think the sky is not necessarily the limit for them, but I feel as a Wild fan after watching Coyle, Nino, Granlund, Zucker, same age, the same group, go through similar stretches, right? Like, and similar individual production seasons where they looked strong, right? They had 20 goal seasons, looked like these were the guys to build your building block and your supplemental core around Parisi and Suter. Mm-hmm. Now that Parisi and Suter are older, and mostly Parisi being a role player, I think I can look at these three players and be satisfied that these aren't your supplemental players. These are your core players, and now you need to supplement your roster around them. And what they did tonight against the Las Vegas Golden Knights, a playoff team, a team that could have home ice advantage throughout a good chunk of the NHL playoffs, they were the ones who helped the Wild get here tonight. It wasn't their goaltending. Special teams, if anything, it seemed like the Wild were playing two teams tonight, the referees and the Golden Knights.
The refs had a bad night.
Horrible night. Kaprizov, Fiala, and Ek, in my opinion, I thought they led the way. I really thought they led the way tonight, and it's an exciting time to see it as a Wild fan.
So I will give Talbot credit for the third period. I thought he played well. The first two, he was shaky for essentially at least a second consecutive game. And the third, I thought he settled down and made some nice saves. So I'll give him credit there. But there's a couple directions in which you went that I think are worth exploring, Dex. First of all, the refs. The refs were not good. The refs had a bad night. We could argue the debate, and Talbot afterwards torched the officials for not calling interference on that first goal, and then they gave the Golden Knights a power play, and the Golden Knights scored, and Cam's point was, I have no idea what the rule is, which is sort of funny because if you go back, it's essentially the same stuff that Dubnyk used to say too. And I appreciate the frustration of the goaltenders in not, like, from game to game, you don't know what Toronto is going to call a goal and what they're not going to. So I get that totally. But Evason brought this up about Talbot, and it's very true. And I think it's a direction that we should go off this game. And that is, Cam was upset. Cam was miffed. Cam addressed it with the officials, and then it was done. And he didn't allow it to affect his entire game. Like, it didn't permeate the rest of that game where he sulked or was mad or was yelling. And that's an important direction to go, because tonight as well, Jared Spurgeon, who ordinarily, I mean, is as steady as it probably gets, turned over the puck. It resulted in a Golden Knights goal, and it was awful. And you know what he did? He came right back, and he got a deflection from Bonino, and he came back and played well, two assists. And I want to wrap this up with the guy I just talked about. Two goals tonight and an assist. Nick Bonino, okay? This, to me, like, there's a lot of reasons why this team is different. Goaltending's really good, right? Goaltending is totally changed. For the most part, you've got two goaltenders that you don't expect to be sieves. That's important. No, not a lot of weird goals. Kaprizov, he is 1A, right? He scored the goal tonight to tie that game. And I would challenge you to name it the amount of players in this team's history who could have scored that goal. Gabrick could have. Fiala, actually, I think, can as well.
Yeah.
But, like, if you go back, and I'm not saying nobody who's worn the Wild sweater can score that goal, but I am saying I think we could probably pick him out on one hand at that point in a game with that pressure. But what Bonino has done from a leadership standpoint, he's got two cups, so does Cole, but Nick Bonino is such a key acquisition, because I really believe that he sets a tempo for this team in games like this. I also think like he's a good quote, and I think he's a no BS guy, and he gives us quotes. But I'm pretty certain, just total guess here, Dex, I'm pretty certain after that game against the Blues where the Wild came back and won in OT Saturday, Nick Bonino said, boys, we can't do this. Like, this is not how you win a cup. Like this whole thing of, well, we're late in the game and we're down by two. Let's rally. That's now tonight's different because tonight I actually thought that they played harder and that they worked and that things began to gel. And they, and in that sense, they deserved the luck that they probably got. But if you think about the different ingredients of how this team feels now, right? And like tonight, it's like watching a different franchise. Like think, Dex, think about how often we saw games like tonight and the Wild would have been PO'd at the officials the entire game, right? They would have been moaning and more, and they would have been in the official's face about how they were being screwed, and the goaltender would have had an excuse for, you know, that wasn't my fault. What am I supposed to do, right? Like, you think about all these things, and yes, Kaprizov is the most important player, but all of the BS that has been removed with this franchise, and a game like tonight is a game that I don't think this team previously in the last, I don't know, take your pick, 5 years more, has had the ingredients to play. That's what impressed me. Because you're right. It certainly was not perfection, and it was not beauty. But it was effective. They worked hard. And I just love the fact of the guys who set the tempo for this team.
You know, I don't love that Kevin Fiala plays next to someone like Nick Bonino and Victor Rask. I don't love that. But I do love someone like Nick Bonino maybe being in Kevin Fiala's ear of showing him how to win and showing him how to be accountable. And, you know, Bonino had a really strong game tonight. I think 3 points. And then even what I even loved, literally the last shot of the game, and I didn't think the Vegas Knights player had a good shot of scoring that goal, but Bonino selling out, literally selling out, because it's the one thing in hockey where you say sell out, it means it's a good thing, going on all fours to block that last shot as the puck hits him. Buzzer goes off, the Wild win. Like, he doesn't have to dive after that puck. He doesn't have to go after it, but he knows that, you know what, if I don't at least try, I'm gonna at least give it my all and see where it goes from there. I think he, of all the players that they have brought in, these free agents and Cole included via trade, he's the one I want back the most. At first, I think I said 2 months ago, I was like, you know what, I don't think I really want any of these guys back. You know, I know the Wild are having a nice season, but you don't need to commit long-term or commit more past these guys. I think Bonino's the one guy you bring back. And by the way, I don't think Bonino's someone, too. I think it kind of reminds me of the Ryan Hartman recent contract extension. Nick Bonino wants to walk. If Nick Bonino wants to go try to chase another cup or go to some other situation where he can maybe make a couple more million bucks in the last part of his career, he's won two cups, right? Like, it's not like he needs to go chase another one. Right. But if he wants to stick around here for the right term and for the right culture setting that I think Bill Guerin and him are obviously very, very close, going back to their days in Pittsburgh, I want him on this team. Yep. I think what him and Foligno bring, mostly off the ice, is humongous for this team. They did not have those culture setters in that room in the previous guys. Staal and Koivu were good players. They were good players. Mm-hmm. They were good quotes, even, especially Staal. Staal was a good quote. Yeah. At the same time, I don't know if by that point in his career, because Eric Staal also won a cup and was an instrumental part of the Carolina Hurricanes organization for a very long time before arriving in Minnesota. I'm not saying he was checked out by the time he got here, but I just think he was comfortable, right? Like, I just think that at this point, look, I'm probably a Hall of Fame player. I've built a Hall of Fame resume, I should say. I've won a cup before. I'm coming off this weird year where I got traded to New York for the first time and left Carolina, and I just got paid for a 3-year contract. I'm good. Like, I'll lead by example, and I'll lead. I'm not going to shut off, but I'm comfortable and I'm okay. I think someone like Nick Bonino is in here, and he's like, no. Yeah, I've won two cups before. I know I'm not necessarily a Hall of Fame player, but we're gonna bust ass every single night, and we're gonna hold the people in this room accountable. And I think guys like him and Foligno mean so much more than just what they do in a box score.
And think about how long it took to get there. I think Staal fell victim to what was the problem for so long, which was comfort and entitlement, right? Like, I'm good. I belong here. And all the guys are nice around here. And I love, you know, my family loves it here. And I'm comfortable here. Nick Bonino is never comfortable. Watch him play. Watch him talk. I mean, he's a good quote and he's a smart guy. But he never looks happy. Like, he never looks satisfied, because he's not. Because he's won two cups. And winning a cup is a pain in the butt. Like, it takes months of work. And to get there takes a ton of work. And it's a grind. And it's no fun. And if going to picnics with your teammates and being in Minnesota, because I love the summers when my kids can run around and they can skate on a rink I made for them in Edina. If that's your goal, Nick Bonino wants nothing to do with you. And it's not a mistake, too. And I will say this, and because I've seen it twice now. And if you think that I'm a big fan of this guy, you are right. I love guys who are wired like this. When Bonino Dex was put on the Parisi Sturm line, that fourth line, Parisi's play kicked up. Okay. That was not a mistake. Did you notice did you notice tonight at times, Victor Rask looked pretty good?
Yeah.
You know why? Because I think Nick says, here's what we're going to do. I might not be able to do it. I might not be the most talented player, but there's an accountability. In the mid 80s, so there was a guy from St. Paul Harding High School, Paul Holmgren,
yeah,
who was a longtime Flyer, and he was a really good player.
Yep.
But he played like Zach does, and he played like Bonino does. And so by the time we got to about 83, 84-ish or so, he was broken down physically. He was a mess, okay? But Louis traded for him, because the North Stars teams of that time had the same problem that the Wild teams have had, which is a lot of talented guys who are really comfortable. Hey, I'm comfortable here. And Holmgren came in, and he was broken down physically, Dex, but he came in, and I'll never forget one of the first games I went to after they acquired him. I looked at the bench, and it was just during the course of just a play, like nothing special. And the entire bench is standing up, leaning against the boards, like into the game. And that was driven by Paul. Like, anything Paul did, they wanted to do. And Bonino has that quality. Like, I think he can look sideways at a Rask, and Rask, if he applies himself, can be okay. Like, half the time, I think he does not apply himself, which frustrates me. But I think a guy like Nick can look at Victor and say, Victor, here's what we're doing right now, and we're doing it. And it takes. And this is where I always had a gripe with Koivu. Koivu in his prime, you're right, was a good player. Like, there's no doubt about it. Go back and watch him. He was a good player, but he was never a leader. And he was never the type of guy that I felt his teammates said, oh my God, Miko's doing this, so we should, right? It was always he's a stoic guy. Well, what does that mean? So a guy like Foligno, Bonino, and Cole, I think that they are guys that teammates will go through walls for. And that's an intangible that you can't teach. That's not something that you can announce. I am that guy. You either have it or you don't. But that's why I found tonight's game to be so intriguing, because it wasn't sexy. It wasn't pretty. It was fun, and it was like a playoff game, but it was driven by elements that just went beyond Kaprizov's star power.
Yep. I was a little surprised they were able to do this again. I thought, yeah, they weren't out of the game going into the third period, but I mean, is this the third time in a row they've overcome a two-goal
yes.
deficit after two periods, or at least a two-goal deficit, yes, and have at least forced an overtime, or have scored to tie it or win the game in regulation?
It's the third consecutive game, but to me, it's the first one where I thought that I was impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, the Fiala goal impressed me, but that performance did not.
Right.
Tonight impressed me.
So tonight's an inspiring performance. Tonight's the kind of night where you said, okay, you definitely are not going to be putting yourselves in two-goal deficits multiple times and expect to win a lot of games, because you're not going to be able to do that. I know that, and the Wild now have gotten, they've won two of those games. They got a point in the first one for forcing overtime. But if you can take advantage of this, and if you can use this momentum going into the playoffs, this is good. I mean, you're going to see the Knights one more time tomorrow. You still got a few more games left against some lowly teams, and you got St. Louis still, I believe, on the schedule, so it's not completely over.
Yep.
But tomorrow, you can really send a message, I think, to Las Vegas that if it is Vegas, and it, right now it looks like it's going to be a coin flip. I really don't know if you can really say confidently if it's going to be Vegas or Colorado who you line up with in the playoffs right now. It's a coin flip. Mm-hmm. The Wild are right now fighting for home ice advantage possibly in the first round of a playoff series. They're tied right now with Colorado. I know the Avalanche are playing as we're recording this late right now, so we'll figure out tomorrow where the standings shake out, and Colorado will still have a game in hand against Minnesota when the sun wakes up, or Wednesday or from Tuesday morning. But right now I feel pretty confident going into a playoff series against Las Vegas. Like, if they get Vegas, I think the Wild can absolutely steal it. I think that not just steal it, but dominate it.
Yep.
I really do. And you mentioned it earlier in the pod, they have goaltending that can definitely steal, like Leonard and or Fleury can mm-hmm. steal them a game. 100%. Mm-hmm. They could have a poor performance, and those two goaltenders you feel comfortable with are going to steal you a game. But their defense is weak. It's almost the opposite of Colorado. I don't trust Colorado's goaltending, but I know their defense is good, right? Like, it's kind of the polar opposite. And they have great depth offensively. The Vegas Knights are a scary team up top, but I think you can absolutely expose them defensively, and you can rattle guys like you can rattle someone like Leonard. And this is a good sign if you're the Wild. I think this was a good performance going into the playoffs, because I think it says we're not just a cute team that popped up and clinched a playoff spot early. I think it says that we're going to compete and we're going to win a playoff series or two and look out.
So as we record this right now, and it is 11:40 p.m. as we do, the Avs are down 4-2 to the Sharks in the third period. Just to go through the standings, it's Vegas 51 games played, 74 points atop the West. Colorado, to what you just said, right now 49 games played, 70 points. So in second place, by the time their game against the Sharks gets done, and as I said, they're down by two goals right now, they'll be at 50 games. The Wild, 51 games, 70 points. And the Blues, who won tonight, 50 games, 55 points. So they are locked into fourth. But the scary thing about them is they could be a real pain in the butt in the playoffs. I still think that at the very least, if you are the Wild and you can get home ice against the Avs because of that last change, it is huge. I also think that, and we saw this tonight, I know it's 3,000 fans being allowed into the X right now, Declan, but they made a difference. They were loud. They were all over the officials, rightfully so. It was fun, but they made noise. And I think if you can keep yourself out of having to play in Colorado for what, games 1, 2, 5, and 7, mm-hmm. I believe, mm-hmm. And those games are at the X, and you get the last change, I don't love your chances against the Avs, but I, in fairness, also don't hate them.
Yeah. I think this is, the Wild could still get first place in the West right now. I mean, they really could. They're only 4 points back. I know Colorado has a game and games in hand here, and I believe they get the majority of their remaining schedule against the California team. So theoretically, you know, they should be able to make hay, but then again, you know, the weird things happen in hockey right now, and they're losing to a Sharks team who has really just hit a complete wall in the last month of the season here. So I'm confident going into the playoffs right now. Like, before I said, well, I don't really want to play Colorado. Like, a month ago this time, I said, I don't want to play Colorado. I think you'd lose in five. I don't want to deal with that. I think it'd be a disaster. Get Vegas, it could be fun. It could be a competitive possible seven-game series, and you match up better with them, and you give them fits, and this could be a fun thing. I think if they get Colorado or Vegas, now I feel comfortable. They're different teams. They're certainly different teams. They're built extremely different, and they're vulnerable at different areas. But if the Wild, the mission right now should be get home ice, because 3,000 fans tonight, 3,000 fans, which, you know, the X can hold 18,000. That's like what, 25 to 33% of capacity. And they were a refs you suck chant blew out tonight. They were applauding every time the refs actually made an offsides call, which was great.
That was outstanding.
You saw the oohs and ahs just in offensive zone funness watching Kirill Kaprizov dangle around. Like, you can tell that there's absolutely a different edge here with when they're even back at home. And I think that's the mission. Get home ice advantage. Absolutely get home ice advantage.
This is going to sound weird, but right now, I think the team, if I'm the Wild, in this division, I think the team I fear the most just throughout the course of the entire thing of the four or of the three teams besides me that are going to make the playoffs, the Blues. Mm-hmm. I really think the Blues are going to be the hardest out. I think that if Binnington gets hot, their defensemen are big and they're tough and responsible. The Blues have skill. I think the Blues are actually of the three teams right now, Vegas, the Avs, and I know it sounds nuts, but I'm not convinced the Avs are completely back from their COVID scare and all. You know, they missed a lot of time. That. I think Dubnyk went on the COVID list. I saw a note today. So, like, they've had a lot of problems there. I think with the way that they're going and the way that they're built, the Blues are actually the toughest team.
Yeah.
Which sounds nuts, but
no. I don't think it's nuts because number one, they have size, and I think in the playoffs that does matter. Like, I'm not trying to say where you finish in the standings doesn't necessarily matter because you can get a tough draw, but they have size. They have guys like Perron and your guy Ryan O'Reilly and Tarasenko, who like they have basically all the ingredients. I think it does ride on Binnington. Can Binnington get hot? Can Binnington snap out of his funk? This season, I think he's just been mostly a disaster. He's been a disappointment. I won't say a disaster. He's been a disappointment.
Up until now.
Yeah.
Like,
so
he's started turning around.
If he figures out his game, look out. Because their size and their physicality and the way they play, that's sustainable. It's not sexy, right? Like, it's not a sexy way to play.
No.
They won't score five. Like, tonight, they're not going to score five or six goals and beat you. That's not how they're going to win a hockey game consistently. They're gonna beat you 3-1, and they're going to pound the hell out of you. And that's how they're going to be able to win games. And the Wild honestly should scare that. The Wild are not big. The Wild are not a physical team. So they could absolutely get bullied around. Yep. And honestly, for the most part, they've given the Wild, I think, the most fits.
And that starts with one thing. Kaprizov, they hit him every chance they get. The Golden Knights did not do as nearly as good of job. And the goal that Kaprizov scored tonight in the third period, Dex, to tie that score, the Blues didn't give him that time or space. Like, that was a great play, but that was classic Kaprizov. The Blues, if you go back and watch, they ordinarily, now they've not done this all year, but I thought in the three games that they just got done playing the Wild at the X, the Blues didn't give him that time and space. They took him out, which is really smart, which is an absolute necessity to beat the Wild. But yeah, it's funny. Vegas, the way they play doesn't necessarily correspond to what I would expect. Like, I would expect that they beat you up more. I would expect defensively that they would be solid. I was amazed by the chances in the slot that they gave up tonight. I mean, there was defensive irresponsibility right and left, and to the Wild's credit, they took advantage. But and here's my last thing, Kaprizov, mm-hmm. Okay? How much fun is that building going to be next season when hopefully we have 18,000 plus fans watching that guy play? And your guy Fiala too. But I can't imagine how much fun that's going to be next year when that building is packed. And this guy, I mean, there's times he just puts on a show.
Yep. The roof would have blown off. If it was at 18,000, the roof would have exploded. There would have been noise complaints in the surrounding condo areas with the suits living near downtown on West Kellogg and West 7th Street, hearing that boom that would go off at the Xcel Energy Center. That would have been awesome to see. Yes, I would have loved to have 18,000 fans in there for the arena tonight. Quickly, in the West Division, just in these other two teams in Colorado and Vegas, who and maybe even take out who the Wild are playing. Who do you think is more vulnerable to getting bounced quickly, Colorado or Vegas? Like, when you really look at it, who would be the one team that you wouldn't be surprised if they did lose a game in a series in five and were just gone, at least right now?
Vegas. I just don't – I like them a lot, mm-hmm. but I don't know that what we're seeing right now is built for the playoffs. The Avs, I think, are going to – I think the Avs are going to be okay. I'm a little bit hesitant with them because of what you've talked about so much. They're shaky goaltending at times. If Grubauer, though, gets righted and he can start, I mean, they've got some high-end skill that can just beat you. Vegas has some skill, but, I mean, when you play like they have in their own zone, that is a recipe for defeats. And keep in mind, too, the Wild has now beaten the Golden Knights five consecutive games.
Yep.
Like, they've won five consecutive games, and I know that the playoffs are different, and I know it gets tougher, and I know things change, and I know that things tighten up for sure. I get all of that, but I just have a feeling if I was to handicap the teams outside of the Wild in that division who could go out the quickest, I would say one, Vegas. I actually think two is the Avs now, and three, the Blues. I think the Blues, if the Blues continue to play like what I've seen, I think that whole game comes together for a playoff series really well.
Yeah.
So if the Blues play the Golden Knights, I'm going to pick the Blues.
Yeah. Wouldn't be a bad bet right now. It probably wouldn't be a bad bet. I would be curious to see how they would match up with them. I think my money might be on Vegas too.
Our guy, baby. And he's a playoff machine.
And that's just someone too who, again, with the lead, it's not just like, look, Bonino's a great leader, but he can only do so much on the ice.
Correct.
Right? Ryan O'Reilly has both of those intangibles.
Yes.
Like the insane, hey, this is how we're going to do it. And yes, I can do it both ways, but I need to buy in from every single, and that's why they made their run. And that's also like Tarasenko can ghost. Like Tarasenko can go, hey, like you won't see me again for a week. I'm just going to be skating around here and shooting some pucks off target. And I think Ryan O'Reilly's influence on Tarasenko is huge. Cause Tarasenko still will go off the reservation for there for a little bit, but it mostly his influence on someone like Tarasenko prior to his arrival there, like Tarasenko, I don't think really cared, and he needed someone like that.
And he drove me. So in the series where the Blues beat the Wild, is that 4 years ago now or 5 years ago now? Tarasenko would have, I said the exact same thing. He would have a game or two where you watched him and you were like, oh my goodness, this is a elite talent. And the next game, you wouldn't notice him. And it drove me crazy because I'm like, dude. Now, and that's what I love about Kaprizov. Kaprizov constantly works.
Yep.
Like he gets frustrated and he gets taken out of games at times, but it's not because he does not care. Tarasenko just is like, oh, okay, I'm done here. Mm-hmm. And the comparison that I would make is O'Reilly is a poor man's, probably in fairness, Messier. And he reminds me a lot of in his prime Getzlaff, because Ryan Getzlaff of the Ducks in his prime,
that's a good one,
was an SOB and he was talented too. I mean, because your Bonino thing is exactly right. Like he can only do so much.
Yeah.
Like he's going to lead and he's going to work. He's a role player. Right. Exactly. Yeah, right. He's a wing at times and he's a center at times. And O'Reilly and Getzlaff in their primes are like, nope, here's what we're doing. And in fact, I'm going to end the game now.
Yeah.
And those guys are elite.
The Getzlaff one's dead on. He is. He's this era's Ryan Getzlaff. I think that's a pretty damn good comparison. That sounds accurate.
Final thoughts. You good?
Final thoughts. I'm mostly good. Anyone who's watching right now, by the way, thank you. Judd and I have been pumping out some Wild content, and also we have some fun stuff lined up for the postseason. We're still hashing out our details there, but at the same time, we have some things behind the scenes that we're excited to share for you as soon as we get closer to the playoffs here, which are about 2 weeks away. I mean, the playoffs should be starting here in about 2 weeks from this time. So hit that subscribe button. If you don't want to miss any Wild content, hit our subscribe button on ScoreNorthMN. We'll be live on this YouTube channel, most likely after every playoff game for the Wild. And if things go right, we're hoping not just going to do four of them. We're hoping to do double digits or more and possibly see if this team can make a run. So if you want more Kirill Kaprizov content, if you want more of me going on soapboxes about Kevin Fiala, if you want to hear Judd talk about how much he loves Ryan O'Reilly, even if you're a St. Louis Blues fan and you want more Minnesota Wild Ryan O'Reilly talk, subscribe to our Score North MN channel, and also you can find us on Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com, Judd's Hockey Show feed, and the Mackie and Judd feed. So two podcast feeds. Can't miss it. And we're also visually here on YouTube as well.
Stay to hockey, baby. Say your thing.
Pass, shoot, score.